Have you ever had a rough week? Maybe you were finding yourself worrying about something. Maybe you found yourself in a circumstance that was just a bit harder than what you had expected. Or maybe you found yourself amidst a circumstance that you did not expect or anticipate at all. I remember one April week about 10 years ago that was particularly tough for my family. One of the kids had seemed to develop seasonal allergies, and then they seemed to progress to be a simple cold, and we weren't too worried. The next day was followed by an early morning fever, which led to an afternoon with a struggle to breathe, landing us in the emergency department, and then an inpatient stay. I remember that like yesterday because I was scared for my child. Watching the pain and struggle, I was unsure what, if anything, that I could do. And if I am honest, I felt very, very much alone during that inpatient stay. But the next morning, I started to feel like maybe we had ridden out the worst of it, and it was going to be smooth sailing towards healing. I was wrong, because when my phone rang that morning, it was the school nurse calling to tell me that another one of the kids had taken a pretty nasty spill from the monkey bars, and she was pretty sure that there was a broken arm. On that day, what was I to do? It really did feel like too much suffering for me to handle, or at least to handle well. My heart ached, knowing that my little guy was going to face the pain of that broken arm without mommy there, that he was going to go to the doctor's visit, that first x-ray was going to happen, and mommy wasn't going to be there. You see, this type of suffering at the time was really new to me, and it felt heavy. Wasn't one of my kids in the hospital and struggling? Wasn't that enough? No. It was more than one, and we were already stretched thin. I was tired. I was exhausted. We were collectively overwhelmed. It was one of those moments of when it rains, it pours, right? Except it was already pouring on us, and it felt like the storm was rolling in, and we had no idea where we were going to seek shelter. Have you ever come upon those circumstances where you saw suffering firsthand and up close? Have you observed or interacted with someone that you love who was truly engaged with tough strain and unimaginable difficulty, where the struggle, the pain, it was just unavoidable? We all have at some point, at some level, with varying degrees of intensity, we've all faced it. Oftentimes when that suffering, that hurt, that struggle is great, we can lose sight of how we can make a difference, wondering how little old us could possibly impact change or lessen that difficulty. Today, our world, it's filled with pain. It's filled with suffering, turmoil, toil. There's hurt, there's divide, there's heartache. As individuals, we face it. We see our loved ones facing pain, facing disability, the loss of health, financial inequity, social injustice. I'd be willing to guess that struggle and strain of all types are present in our lives. But don't hear what I'm not saying, because there is indeed joy. There is indeed happiness. There are victories over trial. There is redemption. And the hardships and difficulties are indeed present and realities of our earthly lives. We're wounded. Yes, indeed we are. And we see those around us suffering, whether it be temporary or long-term pain, disability and strife. In our lives, resources are spread thin, often inequitably. Hunger and homelessness seem to just be abound. I think it's fair, I think it's honest to say that there are days for all of us where this difficulty, it feels like too much. It's too heavy, it's too big for us to know how we can take the step towards healing, how we can strive for growth or advocate for change. It's too heavy sometimes. There are simply days or circumstances that we find ourselves in that feel paralyzing. We're left wondering, what could be even the single next step forward that might bring healing to our own bodies, to our own souls, to bring relief to our loved ones, let alone the world around us. Sometimes it can feel like too much, and it's important to be honest about that. We're in a world desperately in need of hope and healing. So what can we do when we encounter suffering? What can we do when we see people hungry, oppressed, orphaned, addicted? What can we do when we ourselves and those around us are hurting in so, so many ways, when we face those inequities in our own imperfect lives and in the lives of those who are nearest and dearest to us? What can we really do with the injustices of our ever so broken world? We're gonna dive in this morning on some steps that we can take to work towards healing, to work towards justice. But before we do that, I wanna face some truth because it's important. There are no secrets from God, none. There are no secrets from God. He knows our thoughts, he knows what's in our hearts before even we do. He knows our suffering and our pain, even when we can't find the words to adequately or properly label it. He knows. He knows the deepest desires of our hearts when we don't or when we choose not to name them. Christ knows each one of our own capabilities. He knows our stories. He knows each one of us because every single one of us, you are, I am, we were all created in his image. Despite our imperfections, despite our transgressions, he sees us in his image, and he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus, his son, to the cross for us, and I dare say it is almost impossible for us to really imagine and fully understand that, to really grasp the implications of God sending his own son to the cross so that we can all walk free. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5 says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our inequities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." By his wounds we are healed. His punishment brought us peace. This is incredibly good news, incredibly good news. Because we can know that because he died for us, we can be healed. We are healed. We're forgiven for our sins. Our perfections can be redeemed. And yes, we still live in a broken world, and our Savior redeems and can truly make all things good, can truly make all things new again. We can be intentional as we seek the Lord to recognize and accept that the weight of the world, it's not on our shoulders alone, because God's got it. God's got a plan. In fact, he's got the plan. We need not carry this immeasurable responsibility to fix it all, because he can. He can do that. Yes, we need to be ready. We need to be ready to take real steps and real actions towards healing, towards justice for those around us, so that we can really find the diamonds in the difficulties in what we encounter in our earthly lives. We can be ready to share his life-changing love, his grace, so that others around us can find the diamonds too. We do need to be ready and willing to make a difference. It's once that we accept Christ is perfect, and we are not, our world is not perfect, we can be ready to get to work, to really get down to it. We can strive to be people of healing and justice as we live our lives. As we personally face those difficult days, and they will come, there will be pain, we will see and interact with injustice in our world, but we can take steps towards healing and action. And we're gonna dive into these steps this morning. First, tackling how we can be ready to listen and learn. We can cry out to God, we can speak up, and then be ready to take action. Listening. It's easy, right? You sit down in close proximity to someone, maybe you're on the phone with that person, and you are quiet as they talk to you. That's it, right? I would say not so much. When I was in graduate school, I took a 12-week course on listening. And I learned then that listening is a skill, and it's actually a pretty complex one at that. And while my graduate story is a story for another day, suffice it to say that true and good listening, it takes intention, it takes effort. It involves our presence, it involves our open ear. We have to observe and be on a careful watch. Listening involves a warm and non-judgmental demeanor as you sit with someone who is suffering. Real listening involves intentionally letting go of our preconceived opinions. It involves periods of quieting not only our voice, but our emotions and our reactions, and engaging in genuine reflection. James 1:19 reminds us of this. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. As we are present with those who are suffering, we must listen to truly show empathy. We must listen to gain a broader understanding, a broader perspective. We must be willing to really listen to others, especially those who are facing difficulties, so that we can be ready to advocate for what is needed, for what is true, for what is good. It's with good listening that we then become able to truly learn. And learning is vital to effectively take action in helping others or even being able to help oneself. In our own suffering, there are also times where we can find healing through listening as well. Proverbs 2:2 references the importance of making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. And it's here that we're readily reminded of the value of seeking wisdom and listening to others. My experience has been that when I am downtrodden and deeply amidst struggle and hurt, I have found great counsel by engaging in the wisdom of other Christ followers who I can listen to. These are people who are near and dear, trusted friends and mentors who can uniquely assist me in identifying what's next. Because amidst those struggles, that becomes so hard sometimes. I can listen, I can learn as I seek healing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. These are wise words from Proverbs 3. And they help us to remember that when we can't make sense of the mess around us, we can always seek the Lord. We can always seek wisdom from others. So what's next on steps to healing amidst difficulty? We can cry out to God. Cry out to God. In times of suffering, whether we are experiencing it directly or we're watching a loved one amidst it, it can be so, so easy to experience isolation. When we hurt, we often feel alone. And praise God, because that's not the case. And in Christ, we are never alone. In Christ, we're never, never alone. So turn to him in prayer. Seek his wisdom. Discern next steps through wise counsel and prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Cry out to God. He hears our prayers and he gives us comfort. Cry out to God in times of grief, and when you lament, cry out to God. As you see and experience the injustices and the pain that is present in our world, cry out to God. We must also remember that we can and should intercede on behalf of others who are suffering. We can cry out to God. We can pray on behalf of others. And it's so important to do just that, because just as God comforts us, we should seek to comfort others. In times of my own despair and uninvited suffering that I've had in my family life, I've learned that I have to be intentional. I have to guard my heart to avoid landing, but more importantly, to avoid staying in feelings of frustration, of anger, of hurt, confusion as I faced hard that felt like it was all around me. My own personal journey has been one that has included what feels like a long and winding road of medical stuff. And if I'm honest, I have frequently found myself on a rather long drive, feeling confused, feeling alone, a bit angry, and a lot scared as I have been facing the possible outcomes of whatever was going to happen at this appointment. Some of them were the ones that I had been told by medical experts, and some of them, I'm sure, I conjured up in my mind. But there were so many times where I was driving down the turnpike, and I felt like I was literally driving into pain. Quite literally driving towards pain. And it is in those moments that I think of a certain name for King Jesus, Emmanuel. And that simply means God with us. And in those times while I am driving in my van, literally I will cry out, Emmanuel, in prayer and in worship. Because with worship, thank God for the beautifully crafted words and music of others who indeed assist me in crying out to God, Emmanuel. And what a reminder it is that God is with us. God is always near us. He will not forsake us. Emmanuel, even in the hard times, we need not feel alone. Cry out to God. So today, I hope that some of you, if not all of you, are here and you're feeling like you're in a relatively good spot on your journey. And if you are one of those people who are at that good spot right now, you might be thinking that this is a pretty simple reminder, right? We're Christians. We know we should pray. We should seek the Lord. I get it. However, I'm also willing to say that I think some of us are here this morning and we are face to face with hard right now, met by some uninvited challenge in our life or witness to some extreme suffering, acts of hatred or hurt. And if you are in those times, it can be confusing and even traumatic. And it's in those times where it can be hard to find the words to practice the type of prayer when you're calling out to God. So let's read this together. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Let's say it together one more time. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. It's so important. Jot it down, take a note in your phone, Psalm 17:6. And the next time you are engaged face to face, head on with difficulty, you can cry out to the Lord. He will hear your prayer. Know that He is Emmanuel, that He is with you. Rest knowing, remember back to Isaiah 53:5, that the punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And we can be at peace. We can be at peace because of His work on the cross for every single one of us. We can cry out to Him and lay it at His feet. As we face difficulty, we can speak up. Speak up. Across Scripture, we're called to share the good news. We're called to share the good news as Jesus-following Christians. We are called to share His life-changing love with everyone that we encounter. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, we learn of a story where an imprisoned John hears of the deeds of the Messiah and questions if Jesus is indeed the one who is to come. Jesus had moved on to teach in towns of Galilee at this time, so He sent John So John sent the disciples with this question. Jesus replied by telling the disciples to report what they had seen and heard. So Jesus told the disciples to go and report it. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Jesus wanted his disciples, and he wants all of us, to report the amazing truth, the amazing power. Jesus wants us to proclaim the healing that is possible in his name. If we don't speak up, if we don't share our stories and share his story, we don't share the redeeming power of Jesus Christ, we've missed our call. We've missed our call because each of our stories will be different. Each of our stories are different, but all of them are changed because of his love for us and the hope that we find only in him. When we're met with suffering in our own lives or we witness it in others, we must share hope. We share the hope of Jesus. In addition to speaking up as we're sharing the truth and power of the gospel, there are also situations when we will be called to speak up on behalf of others. It can be for lots of different reasons, lots of good reasons, but speaking up does not have to equate to conflict. And I think in our environment and culture today, sometimes that's what we believe, that if we speak up, we're going to create conflict. But speaking up can serve as a really valuable source of advocacy when it's done in a peaceful and loving manner, after we've listened, after we've learned, after we've prayed, it's then that we can powerfully speak up and advocate. In fact, Proverbs 31, verses 8 through 9 says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." We can choose to speak up. And it is then that we can take action. We can take action as we face difficulties and hurt in our lives. God calls the church to get involved. God calls us to be concerned with the suffering who are hurt. God calls us to get involved with those who are left behind. We do know what Christ has done and will continue to do for us. And again, we know that by his wounds, we are healed. We know this. We live freely and at peace because of what he has done for us. So we must get involved and we must emulate that to the world. We must emulate that and serve others just as Jesus, the ultimate suffering servant, did for all of us. As we've noted earlier today, we talked that diving in on pain and suffering can be overwhelming. It really can be. When we feel the weight of it on our shoulders, it can be paralyzed. But remember, he has the plan. He has the plan. Thank you, Jesus, that he does. He has the plan, and you must be a willing vessel. You can be ready to simply take the single next best step towards healing for yourself and for others. And follow with me on this example, that if I see my personal mission as one that I need to seek to end global hunger, I might become pretty overwhelmed and miss the opportunity to feed the neighbor next door. I might miss the opportunity to spend a few hours serving at the local food bank or making a donation down the street to the pantry when I'm able. If I see my missional success as only when I can share the good news of the gospel with my entire neighborhood, I might miss the opportunity to share intimately and deeply of Christ's life-changing love in my life with my next-door neighbor, who indeed is struggling. One of my personal favorite mantras is to do for one what I wish that I could do for many. To do for one what I wish I could do for many. When I think of advocacy, when I think of justice, when I think of service in general and doing the right thing, action steps can sometimes feel muddy or messy. But when I think of doing for one what I wish I could do for many, things become a bit more clear. And it becomes a bit more easy for me to think in terms of doing right by one person, advocating for the situation that is currently at hand, or simply by serving to the best of my ability, one project at a time, rather than getting lost and overwhelmed and motionless in what is unknown to me or what the future might hold. I can choose to do for one what I wish I could do for many. You might recall a familiar old story. One day, a man was walking along the beach when he noticed a boy picking something up and gently throwing it into the ocean. Approaching the boy, he asked, "What are you doing?" The youth replied, "Throwing starfish back into the ocean. The surf is up and the tide is going out. If I don't throw them back, they will die." "Son," the man said, "don't you realize there are miles and miles and miles of beach, and there are hundreds and thousands of starfish? You can't make a difference." After listening politely, the boy bent down, he picked up another starfish, and he threw it back into the surf. And then he looked at the man and smiled, and the boy said, "I made a difference to that one." How many of you have heard that story before? It's one of my favorites. It's an original story by Lauren Isley. It's familiar, but it really does demonstrate the impact that we can have when we take action for even just one. We can make a difference. As we desire to take action to make a difference in the difficulties that we face, we have to serve. We have to get out. We have to get involved one step at a time. Church, it's time we mobilize. After all, the church is the hope of the world. So when you go out into your world, and that might be your neighborhood, your workplace, your volunteer site, it could be your next family gathering, maybe this afternoon. Wherever you see your own mission field to be, you can emulate Jesus. You can show the world of his love. You can shine brightly. You can make others aware of the redemption that's found only in him. If we sit in suffering and fail to act, we miss the chance to be the church. We miss the chance to demonstrate his love and his power. The band is going to join us back now, but before we part this morning, take a moment to reflect on the goodness of God. He is just, he is loving, he is sovereign and almighty. Invite him to meet you just where you are right now, just where you are. Seek his wisdom and discern what speaks to your heart, how you might take that single next best step to make a difference. Where can you seek healing? Identify your giftings, maybe, and then think about one person who is suffering that you might be able to share that gift with. Name an injustice you've encountered. Learn about it. Speak up about it responsibly. And as you leave today and re-enter your own life, which I encourage us all, see your life as your own personal mission field. Be ready to take the next step in making a difference amidst the difficulties that you will encounter along the way. Share the joy, share the hope of Christ Jesus taking the single next best step, one at a time. And as we close today, I'll leave you with the words from Micah 6:8. "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God."